25. Leto. I tried writing it down, my life, so I wouldn't forget it. Where I was born, my parents, my friends, my loves, my husband, my child. But every time I try to write down something from my mortal life in the log, the words melt into the paper like watermarks, gone as soon as the ink dries. The log is a record for librarians, not people. I can feel its judgment. But what happens when the inevitable occurs? When the world forgets me so I begin to forget myself? What do I become when I am nothing but a librarian? Apprentice Librarian Claire Hadley, 1986 CE. Dina didn't seem to be a natural habitat for the young. Bored teenagers and young children peppered the steady stream of tourists at the entrance. But the farther Leto wandered into the city, taking narrow stone-walled alleys at random, the fewer people his own age he saw. Fewer people in general, really. The buildings and streets were built out of that same worn island stone. Thick flagstones swallowed his footsteps as he took corners without a destination in mind. Stern signs hung at residential intersections, declaring that the city residents took the name Silent City seriously. As long as he was quiet, no one questioned what a bleary-eyed American teenager was doing so far from the tour buses. It was probably fortunate, as his head felt like an oil slick just waiting for a light. Thoughts black and toxic, coiled with hurt. He'd felt these black thoughts invade before, more often when he was his full demon self in hell. But this didn't feel like an artificial nastiness. When he had felt the demon thoughts before, they'd been like a computer virus, infecting and corrupting but originating externally. The anger simmering in his chest now he couldn't understand, but it felt natural, close to the skin. The winding alley dumped out into a small courtyard. The fountain at the center hadn't held water for a while, but the sun-warmed stones felt nice under his fingers. He slumped against them and closed his eyes to breathe. The farther he got into the city, farther away from the echoing hellhound howls, the less fear gripped him, leaving him with just the thoughts he brought with him. Lashing out at Claire had been more instinct than choice, but feeding off her shame had been unforgivable. Claire had been kind to him, more than she needed to. He hadn't meant to hurt her, but then he'd been glad he had because he was just so angry. It was a living thing, boiling in his gut. He was so tired of being disappointed, being hurt. And this cut deeper somehow. He knew logically that everyone in hell was there because of their own failings. He knew Claire wasn't just an unwritten author, and she could be hard and merciless. But there was sin, and there was betrayal. The idea of betraying someone who trusted you, images flashed through his head. A death for lack of well-placed trust. Leto gripped his head to stop the throb. It was unforgivable. The worst sin. It welled, a searing and familiar hurt, and he immediately wanted to hurt anyone who'd do such a thing, to make them suffer as they deserved to. That'd be what a demon would do, wouldn't it? He'd pressed the heels of his palms to his eyes hard enough to feel his pulse. Light flared, and the pain was real, despite his temporary form. Leto wasn't sure which was the real him anymore, the demon or the human. He wondered if he'd have to choose at some point, and which was the better choice. Easy there. Those eyes are expensive to replace. Claire's soft voice nearly sent him tumbling into the empty fountain. She stood at the other side of the stone ring, diminished somehow. Her shoulders were hunched, and her arms wrapped around her, pale-knuckled, holding on or holding in. It was a fragile pose. Human. Irrationally, that made anger lance back up Leto's throat. He turned away. I bet you could stitch me up just like your books. Demons are easy enough to replace. You're not a demon. And you're not a liar. Leto hated the bitterness in his own voice. Claire sighed. He could feel her looking around, gauging the emptiness of the square before speaking. Leto, listen, you shouldn't run off. Or what? He was being petulant, but he didn't care. He reached for what he instinctively knew would hurt. You'll banish me, too? Those words only work in hell, Claire snapped before grimacing. What I mean is, no. Leto, I would never—
Never? Sure, go on. Tell me everything you'd never do as a dead person. You've been so good at keeping your word so far.
His hand wound a fist over his chest to quell the clenching feeling. It was irrational, this black, bleak feeling lodged in his lungs. He didn't want to wield it, especially not at Claire again, but it felt like the infection had reached his tongue. He hurt.
What's gonna happen now? Are you gonna turn against us, too? I bet you could figure out some way to sell us out, trap us here, hide your secret.
Don't be ridiculous. It's not as if— I never lied to you. I just didn't— Claire stopped, and from the look that crossed her face, Leto didn't need to say anything to crucify her. She was doing it to herself.
I'm not saying I don't deserve it, Leto, Claire said softly. I deserve everything you're feeling. But we're stuck here together for now, and contrary to what you think, I would never leave you behind. So if you want to sit here forever and hate me, that's okay. Or if you never want to speak to me again.
Something of the acidic feeling withered in Leto's throat and turned to ash that left an awful feeling in his mouth. He heard the whispers from the Raven Road again. We never talk anymore.
No, Leto said instead. I
followed you because you seemed different. Better. I didn't know where else to go, and you seemed to care.
Seemed. Claire repeated the word, half rueful. She made a cautious approach around the fountain, slow and wary. And weary. Exhaustion bruised her eyes. You can care and still cause harm. Feeling, caring for someone else is the worst kind of weapon in my experience. It allows you to do things you never thought you could do, and things you never thought you would do. All for the love of someone else. It's a trap I'd avoided on principle since Beatrice, up until recently. There was an earnestness, an entreaty, that softened her face when she looked at him. The librarian of Hell's Library wasn't ever soft, but Claire occasionally was. It was what eased the last of Leto's anger. It drained out of him like an oil spill, leaving him suddenly hollow but stained feeling. He wasn't sure whether he wanted to hold on to it or let it go. His shoulders slumped. His voice felt more lost than angry when he found it again.
How do I trust you?
Claire sat down beside him and considered his question seriously. I think it'd be disingenuous to ask you to. Let's make a deal.
Leto rolled his eyes. Give me a break. Adults only say let's make a deal when they need something they can't justify.
Claire's frown inched up into a smile at one side of her lips. It appears your teenager memories are coming along nicely.
Leto gave her a dull look. That's also insulting.
Fair enough, I'm sorry. It's been a long time since my— Claire slouched her shoulder against his. It felt comforting. You don't have to trust me. Just work with me. Give me the chance to set right all the wrongs I've done here. I need to get back to the library. There's something off here, this whole situation. The Codex, Beatrice just happening to be here, even you.
I already knew I wasn't right.
You are perfect, Claire snapped, and the protective fierceness made Leto smile just a little. She was wrong. Everything in his screaming heart knew it, but it meant something that she believed it. I mean all of this happening at once. Coincidences don't happen, not in hell. Brevity should have sent word by now, too, if the library was in rights. Something else is going on. And of all the members of our little family right now, I trust you at my side the most. I need you.
Leto turned and found himself blinking to process that. Claire was a wielder of words, prone to confusing speeches like a teacher, ingrained with librarian authority and scholarly control. But this request had an unvarnished raw grain to it, honest and easily bruised. Leto felt the world silently resettle around him to account for that. It confused him, and he was so very tired of feeling confused. Claire was wrong about him, wrong about the humanity he had left inside. She cared, and she hurt people with that caring, but she tried. She was trapped, perhaps even more than he was. The library and hell were tethered to her, like a cuff around her neck, but she never stopped trying. She never looked back. Leto desperately wanted some part of that. "When can we leave?" Claire's lips twitched at the plaintive note in his voice. He supposed it was ridiculous. The idea of a soul eager to leave Earth and go to hell. She didn't see that every time they went to Earth, he seemed to feel more confused, more tugged in two directions. He worried one more good tug might rip his seams entirely. Only the library held him together.
"You want to go back?"
Claire asked carefully. Leto shrugged. "I didn't think there was a choice. Our ghost lights have run out, and hellhounds are after our souls. It's going to be difficult, to say the least, to set foot outside the walls without being obliterated. I'd say desperation has broadened our bartering position." Claire made a vague gesture to the courtyard, to the fading twilight above.
"What do you really want, Leto?"
He had a hangnail. His thumb worried at it as he thought. It was a question no one had asked him. Not in hell, and Leto felt relatively certain even without memories, not often when he was alive. The choice was a little unnerving.
"I want to make a way forward. And I guess I want to know. I can't stand not knowing. These feelings I get, I don't know which part of me."
"Hell may not help that. We send our souls there for various reasons, but you should know," Claire said quietly, a complicated look furrowing her brow.
"Realms enjoy stasis. The longer you're there, the harder it is to see yourself anywhere else. It has a way of seeping in."
That didn't sound comforting. Leto gnawed on his bottom lip.
"I just want to know who I was, who I am. I won't find that here."
Claire tilted her head as if absorbing that, then nodded.
"Fair enough. We'll just have to outsmart the hellhounds."
She stated it like a simple course of action, but made no movement to get up. The silence was companionable as they gave the flagstones more contemplation than they probably deserved. Leto felt his chest unwinding and said,
"So, you like girls?"
A smile tipped onto Claire's face and she chuckled.
"I like interesting people. Everyone has their charms. The details never mattered much to me."
"So you're pan?"
"Pan?"
"Pansexual," Leto explained.
"Is that the term now?"
Claire asked, and it took a moment before the realization fluttered into Leto's gut. Another word, another memory. Claire studied his face and relaxed.
"I remember loving a few times. I was married to a very nice man in life. We had a daughter, even."
"A daughter?" Leto was caught off guard by that.
"She was..."
The ease fell off her face. Claire frowned.
"Damn, I can't remember her name anymore. My own daughter."
A kind of grief flickered, but was just as quickly tucked away. She cleared her throat.
"Memories are another casualty of hell. The more you're forgotten on Earth, the more you forget yourself. It can be a blessing or a curse."
The light in Claire's gaze had faded, dark as the twilight clinging to the square now.
"Well, I've already got that problem," Leto said, hoping it would cheer her.
When it did, it felt like a small victory. He rocked to crouch on his heels.
"Not that I'm likely to forget all this,"
Should we be getting back, ma'am?
Claire heaved a deep, grumbling sigh at that.
Oh, blast, we should. The heroes are likely at each other's throats again.
She fluttered her hand, and Leto helped haul her to her feet.
And I still haven't gone over how I need your help. Let's talk on the way.
The front room of Beatrice's apartments was already in disarray from the search, and now appeared to be the scene for a very lazy duel. Beatrice perched at the edge of her desk, feigning interest in the paperback in her hands. She appeared entirely unaware of the half-lidded glare Hero maintained. He was slouched against the wall near the door, and straightened as Leto returned with Claire. The hounds picked up again as their targets returned closer to the walls. The intermittent growls shivered through the floor at Leto's feet, sending a chill over his skin. At least they were no longer throwing themselves against the wards.
You're wasting time refusing, Hero pointed out, seeming to continue some line of debate he'd engaged in with Beatrice while they were gone. The warden is very persistent when it comes to her books. I should know.
You're too cliché to be one of her books. Beatrice licked her thumb and turned the page of her paperback. Frankly, I'm surprised you let another of us out and about, Claire.
She didn't let anything. I freed myself. Without help, Hero said.
How clever of you. And they say we heroes aren't smart.
It was Beatrice's turn to squint. She placed an ink-stained finger to her chin.
Curious thing, though, calling you Hero.
Leto knew Hero enough now to tell that ruffled him. A tick started in his jaw. Hero's gaze flickered to Claire and back. He didn't challenge Beatrice with a look again. His hand brushed at his hair in short, jerky movements.
Good a name as any.
Really?
Claire had waited out the pissing match with a bored expression that made Leto stifle a grin. She straightened now.
If you two are really quite done. Any word from Andrus yet?
Hero shook his head, and Claire pursed her lips around a sigh. She crossed the room and plucked out of Beatrice's hands the paperback, which she'd hidden behind like a shield.
The Codex, B. Time is of the essence. Time is exactly what I'm considering.
Beatrice was quiet, but she folded her arms in a motion that mimicked her author perfectly, and she held her gaze.
I won't send you back. I'm going back to the library either way. I'm needed there. The only thing we're debating is whether I have to take you with me or not.
Beatrice's slouch stiffened into stubbornness.
I won't go back. I'll give it to your angels first.
Claire's smile chilled. We'll see about that. There was a beat of silence that threatened to freeze over. Leto coughed.
I'm hungry. Is the kitchen okay to use, or?
Down the hall. Help yourself.
Beatrice didn't break her glaring match with Claire, but she waved a hand vaguely behind her.
Come on, Hero. She'd eat something while we still got human taste buds, Leto said.
Oh no, this showdown is too good to pass up.
Hero, recovered from his earlier mood, danced a look between Claire and her hero.
Like a bull and a brick wall.
I'll assume I'm the bull in this scenario, Claire said.
Not even for little cakes? You said you liked cakes with frosting, Leto said.
Hero finally allowed himself to be distracted.
Maltese cakes?
Little Debbie, actually. I think I saw a box earlier while we were searching. Come on.
Throughout the exchange, neither Claire nor Beatrice had moved. They'd barely blinked, locked with a divide of hurts between them. So Leto was relieved when Hero allowed himself to be led from the room. They wandered down the hall and left the librarian to face her hero.
26. Claire. How much easier it would be if everyone knew their role. The hero, the sidekick, the villain. Our books would be neater and our souls less frayed. But whether you have blood or ink, no one's story is that simple. Librarian Gregor Henry, 1982 CE.
It was a slow-motion earthquake, the lurch and shiver of the ground beneath her feet, perfectly timed with the deep, bottomless howl that reached through thick city walls to stroke goosebumps over her skin. The hellhounds were not tiring. Claire knew they wouldn't, but there was a difference between theoretically understanding an immortal, indefatigable, undeterrable monster from hell and having it shake plaster dust into your hair. The interminable shuddering as the beasts flung themselves at Mdina's wards, the way the air in her lungs seemed to vibrate each time they howled, the way her pulse rose and fell with their growls, it all rubbed her nerves raw. Her sanity might break before the Silent City's wards did. The unrelenting rhythm of it was dizzying. It was why she was simultaneously relieved and annoyed when Beatrice broke the silence.
"I have something for you."
She hefted from the desk a familiar book, leather-bound and weathered, like all unwritten books. Beatrice held it gingerly, her face full of vulnerable uncertainty, an alien expression for a hero. She watched Claire like she was an animal she might startle with fast movements. Claire crossed her arms. "Unless that's the Codex pages, you and I have nothing to talk about." Ink-stained fingers curled reflexively against the book.
"I was under the impression that a librarian had a duty to her books."
Beatrice kept her voice neutral.
"I was hoping you would be willing to look at mine while you were here."
Claire's anger faltered despite her best efforts. "Your book is damaged?"
"Just loose binding. 30 years on Earth is hard on a body. I don't want to risk losing any pages."
Claire pursed her lips at that. A shade of the old guilt and duty tugged at her.
"I'll work on it in exchange for the pages of the Codex." "The Claire I knew would have done it out of kindness."
"The Claire you knew killed her only friend for an infatuation. Let's hope a lot has changed since then." She tilted her chin.
"I'll do it for a favor then." "We both know it was more than an infatuation," Beatrice pressed.
She shook her head.
"I just wanted to talk."
"Then it's convenient that your needs and desires don't concern me anymore." Despite these words, Claire snatched the book from Beatrice's hands and picked at the disintegrating thread. Something in her twisted at the sight of a damaged book, especially her own. "I suppose you don't have any traditional linen thread in this day and age."
"You can get anything in Malta if you simply know who to ask."
Beatrice waved to her recently tidied desk.
"Scarlet dyed, hand-drawn, just like you prefer. Bottom drawer."
Claire sat down behind the desk and began shuffling through the drawer, pulling out a tidy bunch of red thread, thick needles, and other bookbinding materials. The familiarity brought a strange stab of comfort. Beatrice drew near her, leaning on the edge of the desk. She felt the unwritten woman's dark-eyed gaze follow her hands as she pulled out a particularly sharp-looking scalpel and needle. Color drained from Beatrice's cheeks. Her shoulders stiffened, and she faced straight ahead. Books were squeamish patients sometimes, but that suited Claire. She turned her focus on the book and began inspecting the tension in the binding. Stress slowly edged out of her shoulders as she set into a rhythm of running her ink-stained fingers over each line of thread, progressing quickly through her inspection with long practice. It was calming after a fashion. Books were always easier this way. Mere paper and leather. Simple, physical, containable. But like people, books rarely stayed that way. Stories never lived only in the ink. Beatrice kept her eyes forward, but long, calloused fingers drummed on the desk in a patient rhythm.
"You seem to have made friends. They're nice."
"A demon, a broken hero, and an amnesiac. If you want nice, you should meet my assistant." Claire adjusted the desk lamp for better light.
"You're in luck. It appears the headband is frayed and just needs tightening."
"Good. I didn't have the time or resources to do an entire rebinding." She began to work her tool carefully between the leather cover and the spine. Beatrice flinched away at the creak of leather.
"You trust them enough to travel with them?"
Trust born of necessity. Claire finished working away the leather cover, leaving a thick stack of sturdy vellum pages fused together with thread and glue. She ignored much of the binding and focused on the delicate line of frayed thread at the top of the spine. Snipping sounds filled the heavy pause. Beatrice's voice was barely louder than the pluck of thread.
You really won't consider staying?
The question was so plaintive, but the answer was so obvious. Claire shot her a frown, but the unwritten woman was too busy studying her shoes to notice. She turned her attention back to the book. It's out of the question. If I stay, worse things will come. Either the hellhounds will wear down the wards, or the angels will con their way in. You're sitting on a time bomb. There's no use. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Beatrice's shoulders bunch.
We planned to face down worse things once. Together.
Well, we didn't exactly run away together, did we? Claire's voice turned acidic and harsher than Beatrice deserved, but she opted to focus on the colored knots of thread rather than see her reaction.
And that was my mistake.
Yes, seems to have worked out well enough for you. A vicious feeling spiked up her chest. Claire struggled not to over-tighten the thread, forcing her hands to relax as she worked. It helped if she imagined she was stitching Beatrice's mouth shut. Beatrice was quiet a moment, so quiet that Claire wondered if she'd disappeared into her book again.
You don't know who you're traveling with.
I think I know them better than you.
Do you?
The way Beatrice said it made Claire's brow furrow. When she looked up, Beatrice had her chin tilted toward the light, was watching her in profile.
If I can't convince you to stay here, then you should know the creatures you're calling friends.
Claire hesitated.
If this is about Andrus, the character.
Confusion brought Claire up short. What about Hero?
Has he said anything specific about his story, the role he plays?
Beatrice studied the desk, purposely not looking at her own book.
He's not typical, is he?
Claire scowled and turned back to her work. She lacked any patience for petty jealousy, book or no. He's maddeningly annoying. I'd say that's a prime heroic trait. That and the cheekbones. Beatrice coughed and shook her head.
I forget how librarians have only the external to go on. He's fooled you by looking the part.
Claire narrowed her eyes. What are you driving at? Beatrice's mouth tightened as she considered her words.
Looks can be deceiving. The prettiest ones are. Outside and inside his book.
In his book? As if that mattered. Characters were true to how they were written, at least at first. And granted, Hero had begun to display unusual quirks of personality, but that could be attributed to corruption. It made sense that the damage would warp him, make him less kind, more cruel, less noble, more grasping, vain, self-preserving, unreliable, sarcastic. Yes, Claire could list all his many flaws. His attitude was more self-serving than...
Claire stopped mid-stitch and laid down the needle. Oh, she'd been a damn fool.
She considered turning the thought over in her mind, lining actions and memories up against it. Then carefully, thoughtfully, pragmatically, she folded the implications up and tucked them away for later. Beatrice watched her with obvious pity. A hand reached out, briefly skimming over her shoulder in a way that made Claire tense.
Do you understand the danger? You can't trust his nature. Grant him the slightest opportunity and he'll turn.
And carefully, thoughtfully, pragmatically, Claire lost her patience for concerned ex-lovers. Leather clapped under her palm as she slammed the book cover in place and Claire found herself standing. She leaned over the desk with enough force to make Beatrice startle.
You have precisely zero room to lecture me on trust. Listen to me and listen carefully, because though I shouldn't have to explain this to my own creation, I am only going to say this once. I am not a damsel in need of saving. You aren't the hero in this story, and you sure as hell aren't my knight in shining armor. No! Claire snarled as Beatrice made to speak. You never were. Look at yourself and use your inky brain for once. The same hair, same eyes. I bet you even love oysters and hate salads. I don't know that because I'm your author. I know that because when I dreamed up your story, you weren't the woman I wanted to love. You were the woman I wanted to be. A chill blanched the color from Beatrice's face. Her mouth fell open. That can't... Claire didn't stop. It was a wound, and Claire wanted to wound her, someone, anyone. If only so she wouldn't be the only one hurting. Me, as I wished I could have been once. Independent, competent, educated, and wealthy, above the constant expectations of family, and most of all, free of society's rules. Why wouldn't I have wanted that? I should have made you a man while I was at it. The moment the words were out of her mouth, Claire regretted them. Beatrice recoiled as if struck, lip curling into a startled scowl as she shoved herself away from the desk. She stumbled backward a step, losing her natural grace. Bugger. Claire chewed hard on the inside of her cheek as she berated herself, her hands stilled on the book. Bea, I didn't mean it like that.
I know how you meant it.
Beatrice's voice was brittle. No, I meant the way the world was when I was alive, the way my family was, I just meant...
I get it.
Beatrice's jaw worked, and she refused to meet Claire's eyes.
But the woman I loved wouldn't have said it.
The hurt simmered in the air, as bitter as ash. Guilt, oily and cold, settled in Claire's stomach. She sighed, rubbing her nose a moment before pressing forward. That's the point exactly. I'm not that woman anymore. I'm not even the lonely soul that you enchanted in the library. I am the librarian. I don't need your protection or concern. It is unwelcome. Beatrice frowned down at the book on the desk between them, as if she suddenly found herself in a different story than she'd thought she was in.
It doesn't matter who you are now. You said yourself, hell is...
If I decide I want to leave the library, I will exit under my own resources. This is not a rescue. I am not your quest. I'm sorry. Claire wasn't used to trying to sound kind, but she tried for Beatrice. She felt a mirrored hurt as the unwritten woman's shoulders dropped. Beatrice turned away, sitting heavily on the edge of the desk. Tension sang in her back as she turned blank eyes out the window. Claire waited a breath until she could be sure her voice would be steady before pushing the point. My quest is the lost pieces of the Codex. Your repairs are nearly done. You can glue the cover yourself. Now will you tell me where they are before all of heaven and hell falls down on us? Beatrice was still for a long moment, long enough for Claire to begin to doubt she was going to respond. Then she tilted her chin down in an imperceptible nod.
Check the back.
Claire parsed the words a moment before the meaning dawned on her, and her mouth fell open. Her gaze dropped to the old unwritten book in her hands. She flipped the book over and thumbed through the back pages until a folded sheaf of even older papers fell out. You kept them with your own book. So when you asked me to repair... Beatrice gave a cold, airless chuckle.
Even a fool knows where such dangerous things belong. You're the only one I would trust with them, and with me.
Like heat roiling off a fire, power whispered in the air around the pages. Whispers of dark things, undone things. Claire stared a moment, then very carefully wrapped the edge of her skirts over the remaining pages of the Codex Gigas.
What will you do now?
Beatrice asked quietly. The pages felt heavy and warm in the pocket on her hip. Claire wiped her hands as she finished stowing them, but the residual dread didn't come off her crawling skin. Her lips fell into a hard line. We leave, but first I need to talk to a hero.
27.
Claire. Librarians are wisely advised to stay out of the business of realm politics. Nothing good comes of the powers of realms meeting. There's no clear answer between paradises and damnations, which are stronger. It depends on the time, the place, the tilt of the world and the spin of the stars. Mostly it depends on the mortals involved. It seems blasphemous. In a constant war of immortal forces, ancient demigods, good and evil, the most powerful piece on the board is the fragile pawn of a human soul. Librarian Yun Ji Han, 1802 CE.
Stay out of politics? Ridiculous. When has a writer ever managed to avoid politics? Every story is political. Tell a soul a story they want to believe, and you can change the world.
Librarian Gregor Henry, 1932 CE. Claire found Leto and Hero in the kitchen conferring over a woodblock table. Despite being seated, Hero had to stay at a perpetual hunch to avoid knocking the shiny copper pans overhead. The room was small, cluttered, but cozily appointed in line with Claire's own tastes, like every other part of Beatrice's flat. Leto and Hero had a pile of pre-packaged cake snacks on a platter between them, and Hero's frown deepened as he scrutinized one still in its cellophane.
This does not look at all like cake.
It is. Try it, Leto said.
It's hard and shiny.
That's just the frosting. It's soft inside. Well, soft-ish. Try it. Everyone loves them. Hero gave him an arch look and finally took a sizable bite. A moment to chew, and then cake sputtered across the table from an explosive cough. Leto broke into a giggle as the other man doubled over. When he finally recovered, Hero's eyes watered with a withering look. There was a smudge of cream hanging from his offended frown.
You neglected to mention the toxic filling.
Leto bit his lip.
What? It's sweet.
Sweet?
No, honey is sweet. Freedom is sweet. A pretty boy or handsome girl is sweet. That? That burns.
Hero took a large gulp from his mug of tea.
Such nonsense. This is worse than the other place.
I don't know. They seem to bathe more here, Claire said. Two faces looked up. A familiar crooked look of disdain righted itself on Hero's face. A bit of chocolate frosting clung to his upper lip. He gestured dismissively to the cakes on the table.
That's only because you haven't tried what passes for sweets here yet. Help yourself, or can we finally leave?
I have the codex pages. We just need to find Andrus and prepare to leave. Claire held out her hand. May I see your book a moment, Hero? Hero unfolded himself from the chair and wiped his hands. He reached into his pocket as he rose and handed his book over to her.
I've been perfectly behaved. Is there some...
The flat leather of the cover connected with his jaw, along with the full weight of the tome and Claire's swing behind it. Leto startled, scattering the snacks on the table as he stumbled to his feet. Claire silenced his squawk with a raised hand, never taking her eyes off Hero. Hero leaned over the table, massaging his jaw. Canniness and caution fluttered his eyes.
What was that for?
You never told me. Claire ran her fingers over Hero's book, tugging at the blank pages she'd sewn in.
What exactly was your story like? A name like Nightfall and looking as you do, I suspected high fantasy. Do you miss being a brave knight, Hero?
Hero's brows inched together.
Less than you might think.
Claire swung. This time Hero anticipated enough to lean away, deflecting the blow. He came up and backed against the wall. A hanging pot clobbered his head. He grimaced and raised his hands.
Peace, woman!
Claire held the book over her head.
What's wrong with you two?
Leto stumbled between them, holding up his hands, though he didn't seem certain who was a threat to whom. He visibly relaxed when Claire lowered her arm.
Lesson time, Leto. It's important to know your archetypes. You know the difference between a hero and a typical villain in a fight?
Claire said, pinning accusing eyes at Hero over the teenager's shoulder. Heroes are optimists. Ambush a hero and you'll get shock, anger, retaliation at the injustice. But a villain? A villain. Now they know how betrayal works. Strike a villain, they expect it. Villains get cautious, not angry.
Oh, I can be plenty angry, Hero said.
Don't. Claire clenched her hands and had to remind herself not to twist the book in her grasp. She shouldered past Leto and shoved the book hard into Hero's chest.
You lied.
It was more of a failure to correct. Hero grimaced down at his book.
You were the one that started calling me a hero. I didn't think I'd be around long enough for it to matter, but then, well.
You're a villain.
And you're a murderer, Hero snapped. If we're going about handing out titles. Were we supposed to forget that?
Don't try to deflect this.
Like you did?
Hero leaned into his space, a harsh sneer coiled and ready to strike.
Perhaps we should be talking about what is going to happen when the whole of Hell's Court hears about what you did, hmm? When we get back, I'm going to have such fascinating stories to tell.
Claire held her expression still, despite the self-doubt and misgivings curdling through her anger. I'm the librarian.
For now, Hero said.
What would you do to stay that way? Maybe you could lose track of another book, Warden.
Let's talk about that.
Like hell. She held his glare, the only sound in the kitchen Leto's nervous shuffling. She would hide, she would obscure, she would mislead, but hell if she would ever fail the library again. She couldn't stand more ink on her hands, stains that wouldn't rub out. Claire shook her head. You were never a hero.
Figure that out on your own, did you? Here I thought I'd been the perfect gallant.
Hero's lips thinned into a line before his eyes moved over her shoulder.
Or was there a little bird?
Beatrice lingered at the kitchen door. Her arms were crossed, and she held herself tall and tense like an arrow pulled ready for a target.
Some of us care about the truth.
Oh no, Claire whirled on Beatrice. You don't get to say a word about the truth.
A nerve twitched in Beatrice's haughty face.
I'm not the one who— I don't trust either of you. At least he,
Claire practically stabbed Hero's chest, knows it's a lie. He pretends to be a hero, but you think you're being heroic. Beatrice's expression became injured and glacial. She said nothing before withdrawing again. Claire waited until the unwritten woman had disappeared down the hallway to release her sigh between pursed lips. She turned and caught Leto's look, which was part judgmental teenager, part injured puppy.
You're very good at driving people off, Leto said. It's a gift.
Claire's smile felt forced, but she offered it anyway.
Hero lost his bravado after the outburst and wilted against the wall.
It appears we both have secrets to keep.
Don't! Claire cut Hero off. We will discuss your future at length when we get back to the library. But for that to happen, we must get out of here. I do have a way you can help redeem yourself. Call it an act of goodwill.
How fortuitous for me.
Hero narrowed his eyes.
Why do I feel I am not going to like this?
Claire merely smiled and gestured them both toward the table. We need a distraction.
When Claire emerged from the kitchen into the study a short time later, Andrus was lounging on the couch with a cup of coffee and already deep in discussion with Beatrice. He rose when he spotted her entrance and gripped her shoulders tight in a hug.
I'm sorry, pup. I tried.
His hands lingered on the tension in her shoulders. It was supposed to be a comfortable squeeze, but felt more like a measuring of meat. Claire ignored the quiet alarm in her gut. The angels are already here?
Andrus ghosted a nod.
Roosting like vultures on the outskirts. They aren't in yet, but it's only a matter of time. An hour, if we're lucky.
Hell, Hero muttered as he and Leto emerged from the kitchen behind Claire.
Heaven, if we're being precise.
They're watching the main gates, but I was discussing our options with Beatrice just now. There's a road that leads out to the farmlands, only used by the residents. The bridge looks unguarded. I don't think they know about it, Andrus said.
The hellhounds will smell us the minute Leto and I step outside the wards. How far is this entrance to the nearest realm gate? Claire shot a sharp look to Beatrice. There is a gate to an afterworld here, yes? Malta has too much history to be barren.
There is, of a sort.
Beatrice's stiff frown fell into uncertainty.
It's not active as far as I know. There are some ruins connected to the catacombs. Old, very old. There's a gate there, but I don't know what it connects to. Could be a dead realm. A lot of beliefs have lived and died here.
It will get us out of Earth, which gets us away from the hellhounds. At this point, I'll barter passage with the Tooth Fairy if I have to.
The Tooth Fairy is real? Leto asked. Andrus's grin was malicious. Not the sort you're thinking, child.
Claire ignored them both as she considered, wrapping her fingers on her crossed arms.
How far from the gates? On foot, at a dead run?
Beatrice sounded doubtful.
It's close. You could make it in a couple of minutes.
There's no outrunning hellhounds, pup. You step outside the ward, they will be on you.
Andrus's gold eyes softened.
Perhaps you should consider your hero's offer and stay here.
Claire raised a brow.
The demon wants me to abandon hell.
The demon doesn't want to witness his dear friend's demise, or that of her stray.
Andrus nodded to Leto.
You've been through enough. You could stay safe here, just for a while. I can think of something to tell the royal cuss when I get back. Maybe even get him to call off the hounds.
A sour huff escaped Claire's lips.
Even you don't lie that well, Andrus.
I've accomplished more in my time.
Andrus pressed a hand to his lips.
Please, stay here. Live a long, ridiculously human life. Several lifetimes. Read books, feel the sun, get happy and fat. You've done your time. Your soul deserves it. Give this pretty idiot a chance to redeem herself.
Claire shook her head.
There's too much at stake right now.
Andrus's eyes strayed to Claire's pockets.
Send the codex with me. I will take care of it.
It was tempting. Even now, even with Claire knowing what she knew. Perhaps Andrus saw that. He saw the way Beatrice had created a home. Their home. The one that they'd imagined. There by the window, where Claire could read within a pillar of sunlight. There, an alcove where her typewriter could go. Maybe even the modern equivalent. And she could finally try to write all those stories that had festered and burned cinders into her brain. The quiet streets, the charming locals, the distant sea. The coats by the door, perfectly matched. Of course it was tempting. Fantasy always was. It was terrible, and it was beautiful, and it was. Claire's chest felt tight, possible futures clenched in a trembling breath. If she risked looking to Beatrice now, it would be all over.
You've been a mentor and a good friend, Andrus. Always looking out for my best interests. But you taught me to be a better librarian than that. Don't insult me by asking me to give up my duties now.
Andrus's smile was strained. A shadow passed over his eyes.
Forgive me, librarian.
Librarian, not pup.
Claire inclined her head and turned to find Leto looking at her with sad eyes.
I'm staying, he said.
Claire swallowed, still shaken.
That's not unexpected. I can't leave, ma'am. I won't die again.
Leto's voice sounded flat.
And even if I don't, I don't want to be a demon anymore. I'm human here.
Claire dropped her gaze. She understood. Of course she did. And the understanding built to a weight in her chest. She squeezed Leto's shoulder once. And then there was no more putting it off. She turned to find Beatrice watching her.
You will help him?
He can stay as long as he wants, just as you could.
A quiet had overcome her. It was ridiculous how quickly it came back to Claire, how easily she read Beatrice's moods. She knew every tell, the way the soft skin at her temple twitched when she was carrying an injury. The air was dry. That had to be why it hurt when Claire took a breath. You know I can't.
I know. And I know you.
She made an aborted gesture with her hand, as if she'd reach for Claire but wasn't certain if she was allowed to. Beatrice's dark, serious gaze never left Claire's face.
I'll always be here,
if you ever lose your way again. Claire refused the heat at her eyes. No use allowing such a thing now. I'm never lost. Beatrice's mouth broke into a glittering, sad kind of smile.
That is true,
she sighed. And I know people in town who can set Leto up with whatever he needs. Claire swallowed and forced her chin up and down in a nod, and nothing more.
Thank you.
She glanced back to Leto. You're sure?
I'm sure.
Leto's tone wasn't at all believable.
You can do this.
She gave him one fierce hug, patting down the disarray in his bushy hair, straightening his collar. Then, and only then, she turned to Andrus. You know where this gate is?
I do.
And you're certain it's clear? Andrus nodded, eyes sad. Claire drew a quick breath. All right, then let's run for it. The Silent City earned its name when dusk fell. As tourists fled on taxis and buses, the city eased into a domestic quiet. The sun sank below the tall stone walls, painting the streets in lavenders and grays. The streets were nearly empty as Claire, Hero, and Andrus made their way quickly through them. Beatrice had wanted to guide them herself, but Claire insisted she stay with Leto. The angels were still trying to get in, and if they made their way to the flat, they would discover Leto. From what she'd seen, she wouldn't count on the serenity of heaven keeping the peace. Claire was counting on heaven's wrath instead. She flicked an irritated glance at Hero. Somehow he'd found the time to wash up at Beatrice's, and his nails looked freshly manicured, hands soft. He also had his gun out already, which was an added source of Claire's annoyance.
We'll never escape if we get stopped for brandishing weapons.
There's no one around. Besides, I'm not dying without getting to shoot something with this bloody gun, Hero said.
The hellhounds will have no interest in books, Claire pointed out.
You should be thrilled. You might get a chance to bob off during the carnage.
Until brevity decides to IWL me, yes. And when that time comes, I'd rather not suffer the tedium of heartbroken recriminations that I abandoned you.
As if you know anything about heartbreak, Claire muttered.
You have no idea.
Hero said it lightly, and it almost but not quite masked the jagged edge to his voice. She glanced up, and Hero cast her a measured look out of the corner of his eye. They walked down another alley before the silence got too much.
Fine, I'll bite. For instance.
Hero seemed to search for words before diverting.
I know that it takes a rare heart to break and leave behind such a sharp, cutting edge.
Claire found herself with no response to that. She chewed on the inside of her cheek as they followed Andrus down another alley.
It doesn't matter, you know.
What?
Hero met her eyes again.
Being a villain, it doesn't matter out here.
In the fading light, Hero's eyes were dark, the green of old earth. Distant lands she'd never see. Claire turned away to keep from being distracted.
Don't get me wrong, I should have damn well known. But it doesn't matter. You saw the damsels.
It doesn't matter what you're made to be, only what you do. Hero's step faltered to match hers.
For one who calls me book when she's cranky, you're affording me an uncharacteristic amount of humanity.
Claire snorted.
Well, considering my own story may be coming to an end quite soon, I can afford to be a little flexible.
This is it,
Andrus announced, as they came to a stop just short of the arch of the outer wall. It was a smaller entrance than the grand bridge they'd crossed entering the city. More just a door in the sandstone wall, with a narrow stone bridge spanning the grassy moat. Andrus stepped across the threshold first, craning his neck in both directions before giving a nod. Claire took a deep breath. Ready to run? Hero grimaced.
This is truly the safest course of action?
Fairly sure it's entirely dangerous and foolhardy, actually.
Then yes, I am very ready to run.
Claire stepped through the door. As soon as they were past the shadow of the arch, there was a palpable snapping sound of the ward coming up. The air at her back hissed, and an unpleasant feeling of static shock sizzled at the hairs on her neck. There was no going back that way. Howls shattered the quiet. Impact thrummed the stones beneath their feet. Claire had thought it impossible, but it was even louder outside the wards. Her heart vibrated in her chest with the earth-deep, bone-deep noise. Claire gripped Hero's shoulder and they burst into a sprint for the bridge. Shadows lunged together on the other end, and the hellhounds broke into the twilight. Fast, so fast. Dark and large as lorries, two of the beasts turned, locking onto Claire with their blood-jeweled eyes. They charged. Claire didn't have time to react. She didn't have time to slow down. She didn't even have time to flinch. The leading hound leapt. She and Hero hit the ground in a pile. Hero reflexively threw an arm over her head, as if that would stop a creature with teeth like long swords. Fool book. Something harsh struck stone. Then something large struck something harsh. It sounded like a car crash. Then a silence that thrummed the stones. When the ground stopped shaking, Claire opened her eyes to stare into Hero's bewildered face. They untangled themselves. Adrenaline turned her knees to jelly and she leaned on Hero as she stood. Hellhounds stalked the bridge, just spare meters from where Claire and Hero stood. Barreling sledges of fur threw themselves in their direction. Muscle and teeth hit the air with a jarring impact that was hard enough to make even Claire's teeth hurt. She shuddered again until she realized what held them. In the middle of the bridge, imposed between them and the hellhounds, was an angel clad in fire and fury. Uriel's sword had sunk deep into the stone of the bridge, and Uriel stood anchored over it. A shimmering, barely visible wall sprang from the blade. She verified the wall was holding before turning her full attention to Hero and Claire. Uriel advanced on them. Claire stumbled back. She spun toward the gates, then stopped. Andrus stood, waiting for them with his hands clasped calmly in front of him. Ramiel stood at his side, making a strange pair. Ramiel was much as he'd been in Valhalla, brooding and worn at the edges. A workman's build in a shabby gray coat that trailed dark feathers at his back. The angel regarded her with pitying eyes, but Claire saved her gaze for Andrus.
This was all your plan?
Her voice was dull.
I did say to stay in the city. I begged you to avoid this.
Andrus's words might have been sad, but he stood straight, easy with the angel at his side.
It was the only way, pup.
The only way to achieve what, exactly?
Hero stiffened next to her, and Claire could feel Uriel advancing on their backs, an approaching storm.
To return things to how they ought to be.
Claire's thoughts rabbited in circles. Andrus had been a duke, royalty in Hell's Court once, but he'd been thrown out long ago. He'd been tired, he'd said. Claire wasn't stupid. She'd always known Andrus, like all demons, was dangerous. But he'd also been kind enough to pick her up off the floor after Beatrice left, after Gregor, after Claire had been left alone. She hadn't been alone. Because Andrus had been there. She'd clung to that. She knew he was cruel, but to other people. He was kind to her, and that was supposed to mark the difference. It appeared to be the day for being proved foolish.
You need the Codex, she finally said.
I need the library, Andrus corrected. Each one of those books is a little battery, a bite of souls locked up in a book. Even an archdemon would do much to taste that. Alone, they're nothing, minor bribes, but together, they're leverage on the court, and leverage is just what I need. There are demons that could be made to see things my way for a nice, steady supply of dreams. The remaining pages of the Codex are powerful, an excellent weapon to wield. But the library, that's where the opportunity lies. The library is valuable. It was never going to stay isolated. You have to see that.
The realization came upon Claire like a punch to the gut.
You would use the books as a bartering device? The library isn't currency.
And the Codex pages were not a matter for the library, Andrus said. But here we are.
The Codex belongs to heaven, Rami interjected, brow furrowed as he looked with obvious suspicion at the demon. You agreed to deliver it in exchange for...
In exchange for me, Claire surmised.
A dead weight had developed in her chest. It wasn't surprise or even betrayal. It felt too inevitable for that.
Are you so certain you can walk in and take it?
I am not the only protector the library has.
That matters little with the power of the Codex. I won't kill you, pup. It's why I'd hoped you'd stay. I may be a demon, but I've lost the stomach for it. Your charms have grown on me.
Andrus's wistful smile made Claire's hand bunch into a fist at her side.
Your assistants haven't. She will be little challenge for those that follow me.
You have it.
Uriel's question was more like a demand, coming from close behind them. As one, Claire and Hero judged Uriel as the bigger threat and turned. For the first time, Claire got a close look at the face of God. She was tall and pale, like a deity carved from stone. Broad shoulders, pale cropped hair, and a narrow nose just below eyes that would simmer judgment for eternity. Her ivory suit flowed, revealing no distinguishing features but perfection. Claire knew the look of a zealot when she saw one, unearthly or not. Uriel's wings were not a shabby feathered cloak, as was Ramiel's, but a shattered fragmented ray of light that splintered from her back and seared eyes if considered too long. Claire briefly wondered how on earth that translated to a mundane appearance in the eyes of the mortals milling on the bridge. Beyond Uriel, hellhounds roiled like a black tide. They were close enough to see now, masses of muscle and matted shadows, eyes a dark red that reminded Claire of Walter's teeth. They continued shuddering in and out of visible light, jarring like a glitching video, throwing themselves at the shimmering wall that flickered from Uriel's blade. It seemed to extend far in either direction, for anywhere the beasts tried, a snap of light threw them back. Unlike the wards of Mdina, it showed no signs of failing. Claire was uncomfortably aware that all that stood between them and her was the fleeting goodwill of heaven. Andrus made a vague bow to the angel.
The pages and the librarian, as we discussed. Show the angels your little prize, Claire.
Claire didn't move.
Introductions first. We've not had the pleasure. You must be Uriel.
I'm Claire, librarian of the Unwritten Wing. She jerked a chin toward Hero.
This is Hero, unwritten book of no importance. Bit of an annoying barnacle, really. You might want to send him on his way before he latches on.
So immune to my many charms, Hero said, but Uriel was not amused.
You are all prisoners of heaven. Surrender the Codex.
Claire glanced toward the angelic barrier again.
Exactly how long will your party trick hold against hellhounds?
For the first time, Uriel smiled. It was a smile that made the human parts of Claire's brain recoil and shudder.
Nothing from hell will overcome a blade of heaven.
Hero leaned over with a mock whisper.
I'm rusty. Was that a threat or a guarantee of safety.
Hard to tell with angels, Claire said.
I can confine the human and her companions while you do what must be done, Uriel,
Rami rumbled. He spared a glance for Claire.
Though I will only confine, no harm will come to them.
Unless she blasphemes the will of heaven, Uriel added.
Well, I feel reassured, Hero said.
Would you just stop?
Claire hissed.
What?
Betrayal, enemies, certain death? I'm not a hero, remember? The bravery was just for show. All I have left is weaponized wit and my good looks.
Uriel made a disgusted noise.
I'm eager to be done with this distasteful business. Produce the pages of the Codex.
Andras took a step toward Claire and she flinched. Repulsion coiled in her throat and felt very much like panic.
Don't touch me.
Pup, don't make this harder,
Andras started, but Hero had his gun out. Claire was pleased to note that he did not step in front of her in some idiotic heroic gesture, but kept angled to her side so she could move. Perhaps there were perks to maintaining a villain in her service.
Call me Pup again, and Hero can shoot you.
Claire's lip curled, but a hand came down lightly on her elbow. She twitched and turned to see Ramiel. She reached to throw him off, but a wave of chill passed through her. All the strength left her grip. Not just her grip, though. Left her. Her shoulders dropped. Her mind momentarily blanked, and it took a hard scrabble to remember her present concern. It surely had been trivial. Not worth her time. It had been so long since she could rest. Her chin fell. Andras moved forward and began gently digging through her pockets. She could not have fought him, even if she'd been able to form the compulsion to. Some part of the back of her mind began to snarl against it. Claire turned a horrified stare at the angel.
I apologize for taking liberties, but it's better this way.
Rami's voice was reserved.
Mortal souls. It's part of my gift.
Hero made to move, but Claire shook her head dully. A gun would do no good against angels. She tried to maintain a steady thought, but it was difficult with the cloud of calm that Ramiel had wrapped around her brain. Andras finished turning out her pockets.
It's not here.
He met her eyes with a sudden anger Claire hadn't seen before.
Where is it?
The other? Ramiel nodded to Hero.
She wouldn't trust it with the pages.
Andras's eyes narrowed.
What have you done, pup?
Between the hounds and the angels, and this peculiar feeling I got whenever you talked about the pages.
Her voice was airier than she liked. Claire shrugged with as much will as she could wrest from beneath Rami's suppressing touch.
I'd hoped I was paranoid. You're the one who taught me to be cautious.
You.
Andras's eyes turned sharp, and he scrutinized her face. He jerked with a sudden certainty.
The stray.
A grin twitched on her lips, a little wild and unhinged as she felt Ramiel's grip ease. She glanced to Hero.
I'd say we distracted the hounds long enough for him to get to the gate by now, haven't we?
Suspicion distorted Uriel's marble features. Her hand shifted, straying back to the pommel of the sword buried in cobblestone behind her.
Is there a problem, demon?
Not for me.
Andras studied Claire's face with something like admiration, which made her stomach churn. He patted her cheek once. His fingertips were leeching heat.
But I'm afraid I have a stray to catch. Our business is at an end.
Andras,
Claire found her voice just as the demon stepped away. The sad smile on his face was the last thing to disappear, as a ground spout of shadows swallowed him into the earth.
Shit, Hero said.
The hellhounds bayed, distant in the silence that followed. Then Uriel's face transformed.
Betrayal. First rule of demons, Ramiel said, unimpressed. We might have anticipated this.
He released his grip on Claire, and she realized he was watching his partner with rising caution.
Uriel, what do we do now?
Now?
Uriel's furious voice nearly cracked with a hysterical note. No, that wasn't the only thing cracking. A flare shimmered over her face, like lightning under clouds. Claire blinked, sure she'd imagined it, but the angel's blue eyes looked ignited. The shards of light on her back appeared to split and scissor into blades. Claire flinched despite herself. The angels presented themselves as mortals on Earth, but she remembered the stories of an angel's true form. Vast and wild enough to break human comprehension. That form played close to the surface now, and Claire's heart stuttered. There was a reason the first words out of an angel's mouth in the stories were, "Be not afraid."
Now I will shred hell itself. Let every demon know that I will not, that the Creator will not tolerate such insult. That worm dares.
But our prisoners?
Rami pressed, having backed up a step himself. Uriel frowned, turning to Hero and Claire as if she'd just noticed a buzzing gnat. She calmed. Her voice was distant and preoccupied.
They are of no import.
And with that, Uriel reached for her sword.
Uriel!
Rami suddenly had his blade out and was charging forward. Whether toward Uriel or the hounds themselves, it was uncertain. Claire and Hero began backing up instinctively. Uriel withdrew her sword, and the barrier fell. The hellhounds had faded to prowling ghosts when they could not cross Uriel's ward. But with the barrier gone, shadows lurched from beneath the bridge, gobbling up the air. Hero raised his faltering gun at the nearest wraith. A gun, even a gun that started its life as an unwritten sword, would do nothing. They both knew that.
Back!
Claire grabbed Hero by the shoulder and tried to yank him toward the gates.
You can't pass the walls! The point is, you can!
Books were made by humans. The Mdina wards had to recognize them as such after all.
Get going!
Still not taking your orders, Warden, Hero said.
Claire snarled the filthiest oath she knew.
Now of all times was not the moment for a villain to get ideas about heroism.
Rami jabbed at the hellhounds with his blade while exchanging heated, indistinct words with Uriel. Rami's sword produced enough lightning to dissuade the beasts, but did not have the same stopping power as Uriel's wall. One hound kept him busy while the others shuddered, blinking through existence to burst onto the bridge. An approaching hellhound lurched, paused, landing on the cobblestones with an oily, lethal grace. Claire jerked back, but was forced to stop when a crackle of pain danced against the back of her skull. The ward sparked at her back. An echo sang in her mind. A song. Claire prayed that Leto had carried out the rest of the plan. That Leto had made it. Would make it. That what she felt at the edge of her senses, a glimmer of a sound, was true, and not wild delusion. She licked her lips. They had seconds, not minutes.
You have to trust me, Hero.
Hero moved to position his tall frame a breath ahead of her, pressing her back hard enough to bury her face in his soft velour jacket. She felt, more than saw, his brittle amusement.
Why start now?
A chill ran up her spine, and she curled a hand into Hero's jacket.
It's what humans do.
The nearest hound, teeth dripping oblivion, leapt. Hero's shoulders dipped and braced. Claire swung her arms around his waist and held tight, just as the ward behind her crackled. Another set of hands latched onto her shoulders and yanked. Claire had a momentary view of the darkening, star-touched sky filled with the hellhound's red dagger teeth, before she fell backward through the Mdina wards, Hero toppling in after her.